This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
5 minutes after 10, Brasol joins us online. Brasol, good evening to you. How are you?
Good evening, bro. Fine, and how are you? And good evening to the listeners.
Good stuff, Brasol. We are good. Are you keeping safe? Are you keeping healthy? Are you not gallivanting and all of those things?
No, I'm forever stuck in the house and on video conferences. But I've realized something. Since the lockdown, I think I've done 40% more work than I do under normal circumstances. Because you are just stuck at home. And I remember a few weeks ago, I used to be stuck on video conferences from past 8 up until 8 p.m.
So are you telling us you are going to work from home from now? Is that a proposal you are going to put forward to your bosses?
It's a proposal I'm giving to all employers.
Ah.
But I think people do more when they're working from home.
I think it by and large depends on the size of your house and who's at the house at that time. You know, people with mansions can manage, I suppose.
Yeah, but it works for me even though I don't live in a mansion. It's just a pondoki.
I'm glad we're talking to you. I've gotten concerns from people with disability who are saying with all of these briefings that the ministers talk in terms of these issues, their issues as people with disabilities, you know, are not touched to the fullest. Would you agree?
No, I agree. Even in terms of distribution of food hampers, unfortunately, people with disabilities, particularly those in rural areas, are not reached. And in fact, even DJ Bambo in Limpopo was sharing the same sentiment with me, that we need to talk to government to say, look beyond the townships or peri-urban areas. Also look in rural areas, especially where there are many disabled people. Yeah.
So you've brought us a guest there tonight, a very exciting one as well. Tell us about it.
Yeah, because he is a musical legend, I'm going to say something very briefly, and then from there I'll give him all the time that he can talk. More especially that with him we are responding to the queries we've been receiving from listeners, particularly those who are blind, and most of them are artists, and they've been saying that they are looking for opportunities. So today, finally, we are answering to their request. But what I want to say is that when the late Brahim Masekela was interviewed by particularly young journalists, they will go to him and the first question will be, where were you born? And he will throw them out of his house to say, I'm Hugh Masekela. It means you haven't done your homework and you just come here, ask me the question that I've answered more than 1,000 times. Why didn't you do your basic research? Now, even with him, I would say he doesn't need any introduction. I will just say his name and everybody else will know who I'm talking about. And that's Babsi Mlangeni, our legend.
Tate Mlangeni, good evening to you. How are you?
Ah, splendid, my brother. How are you?
I'm very good. Are you keeping healthy? Are you keeping safe, sir?
Ah, as always. I mean, we are told that we are very vulnerable because we are on our departure lounge. You know what I mean? So they say we must look after ourselves.
Departure lounge.
That's a nice one. I'm on the entrance to the departure line. I'm not inside the departure line.
Yeah. No. I hear you say. So how's life? Is life okay? Are you keeping well, though, apart from other things? Are you still, as happy as you were? You know, every time I listen to you being interviewed, I listen to a very happy soul, a content soul, for that matter.
No. I'm happy as could be. It's just that now that this coronavirus has come to disrupt our lives, we can't perform anywhere, we can't do anything. We're just stagnant, as it were. Mm. So, once a musician, once a performer, always a musician, always a performer.
Absolutely.
Now, when you're at home doing nothing, you are in another world.
Absolutely. So what we try to do on this show every month, Ntate Mlangeni, is that we try to instill a sense of confidence. We try to raise issues that affect people with a disability. We try to laugh. We try to give out information in as far as opportunities are concerned. And we try to bring in people who are living the life, people that have been through it, and you are one of them. And we have had so many young people who are blind or partially sighted, who've been saying, I want to be a singer, I don't know where the opportunities are, how do I do it? And half the time, we don't have the answers, as some of us, hence we bring in people like yourselves to bring in all of those elements, element of encouragement, element of direction, and so on and so forth. In your interaction with young people in that space, I mean, how do you normally help them or respond to them, for that matter?
I'll start by saying I'm presently residing in Ekurhuleni.
Yes, pa.
Mm-hmm. But it seems to me that the powers that be don't even know that I'm living in Ekurhuleni. Because I'm not recognized as much as I should. Just 2 years ago, I received a lifetime award. Nothing was done. I was not recognized. It was just, and I know why. If I was a normal person, someone with sight, I would have been recognized. Because I'm someone who lives in the darkness for so many years. They don't even know that. Some up to now, they don't even know that I'm staying in Ekurhuleni.
That's heartbreaking.
And
that
secondly,
is heartbreaking.
To answer your question, there are young musicians that come phone me now and then. The other one phoned me from Durban. Some phoned me from Cape Town, all over the country. But now, how can you help these poor disabled musicians without resources? Where will we start? In so much that I decided to start a Babs Mlangeni Foundation. Now, this Babs Mlangeni Foundation, I then go around special schools in general. It may be a blind learners or physically challenged. And I go around the schools trying to instill confidence in them, in these kids, that irrespective of your disability, you can be anything under the sun as long as you put your mind to it. And I go around with guys like Steve Kekane, because Yena is an advocate. We tell them, how did he manage to to achieve that.
Mm-hmm.
And I also tell them, how did I achieve what I achieved in the music industry, especially under the old order, apartheid? It was not easy, but I think it was worth it, because today I was able to inspire a lot of these disabled musicians across the board.
Rasol?
Sure, my chief. I'll also ask Baba Babsi to also focus on his other company, Josie Entertainment. That what does and what are your programs? Because I know many listeners tonight, particularly those who are interested in going into music, they are listening to you, trying to find out how they can go into this industry.
Josie Entertainment started around about 2003. Now, there's a program that happens once a year on the 3rd of December, which is a International Disability Day. Now, I was called to be artistic, I was actually promoting that program. I used to perform there. I remember in the operation of Thabo Mbeki, I was also asked to do to compile and to put musicians together in Pretoria. It was a success. So I decided, no, let me start a company that will promote disabled musicians. Now, the problem that I always get is that disabled musicians don't earn much. Now, they depend on the disability grant. Now, how will a disabled person to go and record without any funds? It's a problem. Now, they always ask me to help them. Then I would then throw the questions, there's various questions to them. Kitale tusa juang, it's not sure that. And actually the problem is, let me start here. When I started in the early 60s, I had a problem because sighted people used to alienate us as blind people, especially. They were even afraid to touch us because they thought if they touch a blind person, they'll suddenly become blind themselves, you know. I remember when I went from one studio to another trying to get a deal. And the talent scouts, the talent scouts, they were not called producers then, they were called talent scouts. Now, the talent scouts would say to me, "Hey, Ntate Babsi, utabina juang usabon." So I then throw the question back at them and say, "So kile wa wona kae maso a bina wena?"
I get you. But as well, there are two people that have been holding very patiently on the line. Let's start in Kezina. Elizabeth, good evening.
Hello, how are you guys?
I'm fine. So your name is Elizabeth, right? So that I don't get it
mixed
up.
Yes, I'm Elizabeth. Just that my wife, she's listening. That's why I just say Elizabeth, due to I respect
Anyway, go for it, Liz.
Yes, like what I want to talk about music is that many people like Mopelong, like they don't have that passionate whereby Mosompe he len I can tell what a lang hore due to talent to talk to another. So
Okay, we lost him there. I don't know what happened, guys. Sorry. George Dobsonville, good evening.
Hey, Mr. Kotan.
Yes, pa.
I always phone you, but you didn't know Hurlina. I'm also partial blind.
I think you told me at some point.
And then the other guy who phoned you, Jimmy from Jericho.
Yes, pa.
He's also a blind guy. Yes. I used to be with him in Optima College, South African Council for the Blind.
Okay, okay.
So I just want to compliment Ntate Babsihuri. There was a club in Muletsane called Club 2000.
Yeah.
Nelia Kai.
Oh, it was it yours, Ntate Mlangin?
Yeah, I was actually the first black blind person who was issued a liquor license in Soweto.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, so I started that club. It was booming, and then I had some problems. The problem started around about 84. When there was a dispute between the hostel dwellers and the location people.
Yeah.
So there's a hostel in Mapetla, there, just the other side of Marafi Station. So then there was a conflict. People were dying. People were killed. People were thrown out of trains and all that. So my patrons became a bit afraid of coming to the nightclub. So I went to SPDC and told them my problem. I can't tell you because Kileka build the downstairs Pizuka shelter. And then upstairs Kalokupa to some more SPDC. Yeah. So when I told them, they said, listen here. That's not our problem. Go and tell Mandela to stop his nonsense. So eventually, we went down up until SPDC started. Then they took the club.
Yeah.
Now someone has taken over there. I mean, in the new dispensation, someone is using my club. That person is actually benefiting from Matleng Aga. I've been trying, knocking from one door to another, trying to get assistance, all in vain.
That's so sad, you know? That is so sad.
It's bad. I wish someone could come up and help me with this, because I want my club back. Because if it was not because of the unrest.
Yeah.
I would still have owned that club, but now it was taken over by SPDC. Now it's taken over by another conglomerate. I don't know what is it called.
And what is said is that even if you didn't want to use it, it was supposed to be a historical monument.
No. Right now, we are talking about blind musicians.
Yes.
I would just open up a studio there. And they record these people. That's because that is my property. There are rooms at the back there that I could have just put up a small recording studio. Then the disabled people will come and record there.
It's bad now, because people are busy calling you a legend, but when they are supposed to help you, they are not.
Hello.
But Brasol, come in.
Okay, if I was to wear my other cap as a civil servant, I'll say that the Gauteng provincial government has a strategy to revitalize township economies. And I would say within that context, I will engage the Ntate Mlangeni tomorrow, so that we can see how the city of Johannesburg and the provincial government, particularly the Department of Economic Development, can intervene
in resolving this.
Yeah.
Also, the Ekurhuleni one, I know the mayor of Ekurhuleni is quite responsive, and I know of a number of activities where the municipality was supporting the locals. And I think we will also engage offline that the Mlangeni, so that we can get the municipality on board to even support your foundation. Because I also know golfers from Ekurhuleni and businesses love to support their own. So in that instance, it should be very easy for them to support you. But we'll discuss tomorrow, yeah, offline about
this. So Ntate Mlangeni, as a parting shot, I know you want to respond to what Saul is saying, but I also want you to say, you know, we also get a call from young people who say, I am blind, there is no hope for me. And therefore, you know, there's no future for me. My only hope in this life is just about this disability grant and nothing else. What do you say to a young person like that to break him out of that shell?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've just said to you that I've started Batsi Mlangeni Foundation to instill confidence in these guys. So the only way to try and do that is when we go to these special schools, we involve these learners to be in the program. Others are poets, otherwise they sing, otherwise they do all these other things within the program, you know. So what we've discovered is that if only we can, the Batsi Mlangeni Foundation can be funded to go to these different schools and teach these youngsters in music in different fields.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.